Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan, as reported in the daily and weekly newspapers received during the week in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. It's a good bet that a lot of you folks who are listening are going to have cherry pie for dinner today. Girls from 15 to 20 years of age in these parts are brushing up on their cherry pie making techniques in preparation for the county cherry pie baking contests, which are going to be held all over this area the first week in February. County prize winners will compete for state prizes, and then the state champion will vie with other state winners for the honor of baking a pie to be presented to President Truman for Washington's birthday. I guess that's appropriate because an unfounded rumor has it that the father of our country once cut a cherry tree without advance approval from his dad. The Marcellus News tells that plans are being made over there in Cass County, and other newspapers reported on the setup in their respective counties. Agnes Gregerich, county home demonstration agent for Cass County, suggests that if a girl doesn't happen to have a favorite recipe, that she should try out several, and then select the one that gives the best results, which constitutes the basis for my prediction that a lot of you are going to eat cherry pie for dinner today. Food and its preparation is always an important part of good living. Other evidences of the interest in gustatory delights appeared in last week's newspapers. For example, the Sturgis Journal praised fried mush as a breakfast dish and gave exact instructions on how to make it. You cook the cornmeal in a double boiler the night before and add a spoonful of tangy molasses, it says. At bedtime, you pour it into a pan so it will solidify overnight. The next morning, cut the slices exactly 5/16 of an inch thick and fry in bacon fat over an ash and white oak fire. Turn the slices frequently so that the outside crusts are a golden brown and the inside is nice and soft and moist. Liberally cover the slices with first-run maple syrup. If this reporter may add a suggestion, serve with generous rashers of crisp bacon. Old Uncle Enos Gay, in his column in the Allegan Gazette, laments that only 2 out of the 60 recipes published in the Allegan Gazette cookbook tell how to fix meat and potatoes. Uncle Enos says they're talking about too much salad in desserts, and he warns that unless folks mend their ways, they'll end up with beriberi, a vitamin deficiency disease marked by muscular atrophy. Quite a few Western Michigan folks, particularly those of the Democratic persuasion, attended the inaugural ceremonies in Washington last week. And the South Haven Daily Tribune tells that Bob Porter, a local boy, did some singing at the affair as a member of the Purdue Glee Club. Politics are simmering again in Western Michigan as the parties prepare to hold their county conventions, preparatory to the state conventions which nominate candidates for the spring elections. This is going to be a big week for the farmers. Hundreds of farm folk from Western Michigan are going to be attending the annual Farmers Week at Michigan State College. Prominent national speakers and many demonstrations and conferences are scheduled. Our WKZO farm editor, Carl Collin, will be on hand with his tape recorder and will present several interviews recorded at the meetings on his regular WKZO farm programs heard at 6:30 a.m. and at 12:15 and 12:45 p.m. At Three Rivers, a commission is starting work on a revision of the city's charter. The Three Rivers Commercial announces that John Y. Hagenbuch has been chosen chairman of the commission. Three Rivers had trouble with checks that bounced last week. The commercial reports that $182 in worthless checks were passed by a chap identified on the checks as Harold Kinzer or Harold Kins. An event of importance in Three Rivers last week was the presentation of a charter to the newly formed Lions Club. Tom Calkins is the president of the new club, says the commercial. By the way, the local barbershop quartet down in Three Rivers has received exclusive manufacturing rights for a cast metal roadside sign to be used throughout the United States, Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii, featuring the national emblem of the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America. The Centerville Observer told last week that the name of the Wolf Brothers Bank of that town has been changed to the Centerville State Bank. The institution was founded back in the 1880s by the Wolf family and had been controlled by that family until the death of Frank Wolf last summer. Then the stock was purchased by local citizens so that it's now a home-owned bank. A 30-bed, half-million-dollar addition to the Sturgis Memorial Hospital has been given tentative approval by the State Hospital Survey, says the Sturgis Journal. Projects costing more than $9 million and adding 662 patient beds in 11 Michigan cities are scheduled to start next spring. Holland is the first city to actually receive funds under the hospital construction program. One-third of the cost of these hospitals is borne by the federal government. Michigan has received altogether $10 million to be spent by 1953. 25% of the construction has to be completed before federal funds are paid out. Among other cities approved for the grants are St. Joseph, Benton Harbor, Three Rivers, and Manistee. Coldwater will hold its annual Chamber of Commerce meeting next Wednesday evening with Esther Van Wagener Tufte, Washington newspaperwoman, as principal speaker, says the Coldwater Daily Reporter. The reporter also tells of plans for a hearing conservation program in Branch County. All the children over there between the grades of 4 and 12 are going to be tested for defective hearing. Gordon Schlubatis, who is the Branch County Agricultural Agent and also manager of the Branch County 4-H Fair, has been elected president of the Michigan Association of Fairs. He succeeds Rose Sarlo of Ionia. And Dr. M.R. French, for 9 years Van Buren County Health Director, has been appointed director of the combined Branch Hillsdale Health Unit. Representative Paul Schaefer has sold his newspaper. The Bronson Journal, which Mr. Schaefer purchased in April 1946, has been sold to William Haight, who has served as editor and business manager of the publication for the past 6 months. While there was a student strike last week over in Homer, Calhoun County, 150 students walked out of their classrooms because of grievances against Superintendent L.M. Wade. Apparently, the disturbance was an outgrowth of the resignation of the athletic coach, a fellow by the name of Sol Wolf. Full details were carried by the Marshall Evening Chronicle. And speaking of schools, the Climax Crescent reports that on January 31st, voters of that town are going to decide whether to approve an increase in the tax rate and a bond issue of $275,000 for new school buildings. Another development in the field of education comes from Hastings. Last week, the Board of Education of Hastings appointed L.H. Lamb, formerly superintendent of schools at Flint and Manitowoc, Wisconsin, as successor to David Van Busker, who is retiring at the close of the present year. Judging from the editorial in the Hastings Banner, there was a great deal of sentiment in Hastings for the appointment of Principal Edwin L. Taylor to the position. But a member of the local school board is quoted as saying that it was deemed best to bring in someone from the outside. Well, the mayor of Belding, Otis Curry, and Mrs. Curry are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary today with an open house from 3 to 5 at their home in Belding on Alderman Street. The Belding Banner News reports this item, and we want to add our congratulations to Mayor and Mrs. Curry. The mixed train, formerly run by the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad on its line from Grand Rapids to Saginaw through Ionia, Belding, and Greenville, has been taken out of service. And a new Star Route mail truck service has been instituted, providing the three cities with better mail service, says the Ionia Sentinel Standard. Time now for the stories in the news. Here's Ed Lasko.
We understand from an item in the Charlotte Republican Tribune that the local Lions Club is staging a home talent show in Charlotte called the Atomic Minstrels. And over at Galesburg, in the Galesburg Recreation Alleys, they've installed an electric eye which registers unerringly a foul. Its accuracy is unquestionable, says the Galesburg Argus. A South Haven man named Yale Park, who was born in Korea, has invented a method of shorthand for writing Korean, says the South Haven Daily Tribune. The Lowell Ledger agrees to pay $1 to the first person who gives the first correct answer to the following puzzle and proves his answer is correct. Here's the question. If a steel band were stretched around the earth at the equator so that it touched the equator everywhere, how much longer would the band have to be a foot above the earth all the way around? Here's the text of an advertisement that took up almost a quarter of a page in the Cassopolis Vigilant last week. Mr. Joseph Franklin F. House is no longer associated with the Village Cafe in Vandalia and wants to thank all of you for your past patronage. I love all of you, and may God be with you. Now, back to Dr. Dunbar.
Thank you, Ed. They're already preparing for tulip time in Holland. This year, the big festival will be held May 18th to 21st. All the usual features, tulip lanes, clompin' dancers, parades, and so on, will be renewed. Willard Wickers will serve for the fourth consecutive year as manager of the festival, says the Holland Evening Sentinel. The Holland Common Council voted last week to install parking meters in Holland in the downtown section. Over at Coldwater, the Daily Reporter tells that 127 parking meters in Coldwater have yielded a total of almost $17,000 since their installation a year ago last September. Of this, one half has gone to pay for the meters. South Haven Daily Tribune calls attention to the article in last week's Life magazine about Liberty Hyde Bailey, who perhaps you may know is a native of South Haven. Speaking of the South Haven Daily Tribune, this newspaper will be featured on our program Western Michigan at Work as a typical newspaper of the area on the broadcast next Tuesday evening at 7:15. And while we're on the subject of broadcasts, students of the Papaw High School will be guests of WKZO on Adventures in Western Michigan next Saturday afternoon at 3. The Lawton Leader tells that a total of 630 women are enrolled in 35 home economics classes in Van Buren County. They're under the direction of home demonstration agent Leona Seyfried. The Allegan News tells that the Allegan County Board of Supervisors has gone on record in favor of state aid to county and district health departments. More state aid. Also from Allegan, Carl Hoffman, son of Congressman Claire Hoffman, was found unconscious, slumped over a muskrat house in a bayou of the Kalamazoo River northeast of Fenville last week. Taken to a hospital, he regained consciousness. By the way, the Allegan Gazette says that those two chaps who ran off with the Allegan fire truck on a New Year's celebration have been sent to jail for a term of 6 months to 5 years. In Vicksburg, Postmaster Claire Carvel believes in service. Last week, he got a letter from a Battle Creek woman saying that she'd left a package in some Vicksburg store, she didn't know which one, and would the postmaster please look it up for her and send it to her. He did, and he got a beautifully scented letter with a lady's profound thanks in return, says the Vicksburg Commercial. Editor Meredith Clark of the Vicksburg Commercial joined the chorus of protest against the multiplicity of drives for funds in his column in the Vicksburg Commercial last week. Wrote Editor Clark, "We would like to see this community refuse to recognize any charity unless certified by the Joint Fund for the State or the Local Community Fund." Before turning the microphone over to my colleague for late news from the state and the weather forecast, I would like to take this occasion to express the gratitude of all of us here at WKZO for the fine editorial comment in many of the newspapers concerning our recent open house for the editors. We appreciate very much all the kind things you wrote about us, and we hope that the very friendly relations between WKZO and the newspapers of Western Michigan may continue for many years. And now here's the late Associated Press news for the state and a note on the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll return again next Sunday at this same time with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.